Hi, this is Ann Cavera with another episode of Speeding Past 80, and I have a special guest today, Belinda Mooney. She is the mother of seven, and she has homeschooled her children and led a very interesting life. And Belinda, I just want to welcome you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Ann. I'm so happy to be here.
I would just like to know a little bit about your life, and then we will maybe branch off and discuss the different things that you're working on now. Can you give me a little of your history?
Okay. As a young girl, I grew up in Louisiana, very much into sports and academia. So I was a good student, and I just was a very high achiever. And I guess I always prayed about what God wanted me to do with my life and how I was going to serve other people. And I kept coming back to social work. And so it wouldn't be what I choose now, but then it was what I felt I was supposed to do. So I went into social work and I got a master's degree. I was married by that time with at least one son. And I worked for 10 years and then realized that my children really needed me at home. So I came home to homeschool them. I had three children who were what we call now neurodiverse. So they had neurological issues, and it was quite a challenge. I homeschooled for 28 years, just finished last June with my youngest child, who will be 19 in a few weeks, and really didn't look back at any of the stuff that I'd put on the shelf from my, you know, from my career and my helping people. I was very, very focused on my family.
I can't imagine trying to work and having seven kids at home. And I can't imagine being home and trying to homeschool seven children.
Yeah, well, I didn't have all seven when I was working full time. I only had, I ended my career when I had three sons, but that was still a lot because the first had a lot of problems. So I came home, I homeschooled, and I'm now a widow. And so I've had to start working again. And part of that journey was trying to find, because I had to scramble. I didn't have my licenses anymore. I'd given them up. I had all kinds of licenses and certifications, and I didn't think I was going to do this again. Or if I did, I was just going to do it for free. You know, I wasn't going to charge people money or whatever. But I've gotten my licenses back. I'm teaching at a college, a community college, in the human services department. So I teach the basic listening skills, and I teach the addictions classes in the summer, because that was my specialty. That's my specialty area. So that's what I do, like, as a professional thing. And then I'm also becoming a coach, a Catholic coach right now. So I'm in the process now of getting a new certification for this new life that God is giving me now. And in the meantime, I'm just writing and writing and writing. So I had three books published before. One was a professional book. It's out of print now, but I'm revising it. So hopefully I'll be able to put that back in the public domain maybe in the next year. I've got so many books that I'm working on right now. I don't know exactly where any of them are in the queue anymore. They gotta change. But what I'm trying to do is get this book out. And then I wrote two workbooks that go with Ann Carroll's Christ the King, Lord of History, and Christ in the Americas, that homeschool people use with their children for world history and American history. I wrote the workbooks and study guides to those textbooks. Then in 21, she and I wrote, where the last four chapters updating everything from her book and my workbooks are in one book, and it's called Christ the King, Lord of History, The Continuing Story. So that one I put out, and then in 21, I also put out my Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes workbook, Creating a Comprehensive Plan for a Calm, Ordered Life. So that is about, it's sort of like formulating a rule of life for yourself, where you're setting up goals in every area of your life. What do you think God wants you to do in these areas, and how are you going to get there? You know, so, and I'm not just saying, well, do it in this form, like a SMART goal or a whatever. I'm saying, look, here's the goal that someone else has written, and here's how they made it better. And I'm putting all the examples in the workbook. So anyway, those are my five published books. And then I've got five more that I'm working on right now. And it's a challenge because, what I know is that I'll help the most people by my writing, but what I know also is that I still have to earn money for my family because my two youngest adults are still living with me, and I was able, thank God, to buy a home for us in 22 so that we have a long-term stable place to live now. So,
well, you know, I want to go all the way back to your getting your license as a coach. I've heard of all kinds of coaching, but what kind of coaching do you hope to do?
Well, as a life coach, I can help people with a number of things. So I could help just regular Catholic women or men set up their therapeutic lifestyle changes, you know, and their rule of life. Or I could help homeschool parents. I can do that all day long. I know exactly, after 28 years of poring over all the Catholic curriculums, I know exactly what people need to do. I can answer all kind of questions. I can direct them to resources. So, and then the third thing that I'm thinking about too is book coaching. Because I have published books, and I know that people who really are supposed to write, I know that they can get published. Because if you could imagine the kind of, I just have to kind of clear my mind for a second. If you can't imagine the kind of stuff I have been through to have books published or to get books published. So I know what it's like to write, and I know what it's like to actually get the book published. And that's a whole different ballgame. So I would love to help people, encourage them, because my Clifton strengths are communication, connectedness, where you connect people with each other and you like to be connected with all these people. And then developer, where you help develop people. That's the therapist and coach in me that wants to help people get to a better place in their life, right? And then woo, where you don't know a stranger. That's my Louisiana roots, but it's also part of loving to communicate, loving people. And then belief, because everything is based on my Catholic Christian foundation with God. So having said all that, that's what, at least the top three. I know I could help more people than that, but I think I'm going to just kind of let people know that I'm doing this, and then let God direct the people who need me to help them. I'm very effective in what I do as a therapist, so I'm pretty sure I'll be effective as a coach. If I can deal with harder things, I can deal with easier things. So I can't wait. I just really can't wait.
I really am glad you're able to share that excitement about your future.
Yes.
I also know, because I've been through the book publishing part too, how difficult that is. And so many people do have stories to tell. They have books inside of them they wish could get written. I am getting a book published this spring, probably in the next month or so, that I began 44 years ago. So, you know, it's never too late to dig.
Never.
Find a coach, help you get it done. I have a wonderful critique partner that does help me.
Good.
But right, you need someone to guide you through this, because today's publishing world is a minefield.
It's a lot different than when I first started publishing. Really, totally different. Except for having to write this stuff to begin with, it's totally different. How you market it, everything is totally different.
That's really hard for writers, I think, because we are expected to market our books today too.
Right.
And most of us are introverts, at least. Well, you don't sound like an introvert.
I'm not an introvert. No, not that I know of. But I'm more on the, I do in terms of getting charged, you know, and filled with life. I think I can do it both ways. So I'm more of a person who's like ambidextrous in introvert or extrovert world. Like I can go either way. Sometimes I feel better just going to adoration and being quiet with God. And then other days I really would love to be with people, and he's moving me to share with someone what my experiences are or whatever, you know. So I get energized actually both ways. But yeah, it's a different world right now. And so, like you, I'm in the process of, I'm going to sign a contract today for a poetry book that I'm writing. I could come back and talk to you another day about that whenever everything is done, but it's going to be on the virtues. And my publisher said it would be really great as a confirmation gift for young adult, you know, young going toward adults, the teens who are getting out there, and they need you need a gift for those confirmation people. I hadn't thought of that. I just thought of anyone who wanted to grow in virtues, but he kind of zeroed right in on that. But the book I've got out right now with an editor that's being edited is Praying with the Saints on Their Feast Days. So that's the book that's really in process, and it should be published by the fall so that people, if they want to begin, then they can, but they can also begin January 1st for next year and just go one day a year. It's going to have another saint every day of the year. And some of them aren't the ones you would find on a calendar, a church calendar. It's saints that I have researched and nobody, including myself, had ever heard of. So you get a lot. It has been an absolute joy. I mean, just a joy to meet these new friends in heaven. This communion of saints is amazing. And when I was writing the book, I could feel all of them praying for me, and all of the people in my Catholic Writers Guild who knew I was working, all my family and friends who knew I was working on this book, everybody was praying for me. And I could feel it. Some days I was just like flying, like I couldn't type fast enough to get it into the computer. It was just amazing. It was just like the Holy Spirit was just coming out of me and putting it on the page. And so I know that it's going to help a lot of people, and that makes me feel really good, because that's why I write. I write to help people. It's part of who I am. It's part of how God made me. It's why I went into the human services fields, and why I love to, you know, to do anything that I do. Yeah. So if I can help people, I feel like God is working through me in a very active way.
You know, you mentioned, I was going to ask you for my next question, and you mentioned adoration. Yes. What are the top three things that re-energize you when you're down? Because I'm sure you have times when you're down too.
Well, I guess the first thing would just be talking directly to God. I just, He helps to bring me back up and get my thinking right again. Because a lot of times when we're not feeling well, we don't realize it, but the feelings that we're having are the results of thoughts. And so those thoughts lead to a feeling, and that feeling leads us to act or not act, depending on how hopeless we feel or whatever. You know, sometimes we just freeze and feel paralyzed or procrastinate because of the fear, whatever that feeling is. So when I go back to God and I say, hey, what's going on here, Lord? Why am I not okay right now? What's going on with me? Then what I'm being led to right now is really that taking every thought captive to Christ. If I'm not in the mind of Christ, I'm going in a bad direction because I can think negative thoughts, or I can think fearful thoughts, or, oh my gosh, this is too much, I'm overwhelmed. Like, I get into that a lot. And one of the joys of my life right now is I'm in what's called a barter coaching situation, where I'm going to give three sessions to a different coach. And right now I just completed on Friday three sessions with my coach for barter coaching. And my coach was working with me specifically on thoughts, which was really appropriate because this is the theme that God has me thinking about right now. Take every thought captive to me. It needs to be in line with what I would want you to think, because I've got too much work for you to do to be feeling all these other things because of these terrible thoughts going through your mind. And whether that's me and a negative habit of thinking, or the enemy trying to bother me so that I can't write or teach or do what I'm supposed to do, it all comes back to the same thing. I got to bring it back to God and take care of it. So it's been a real learning experience for me, trying to make sure that what I'm thinking is the truth and correct and is going to get me to do what God is leading me to do to help other people. So yeah, it's so talking to God, going to adoration or prayer, mass and adoration or fundamental. I didn't tell you this, Anne, but I'm a secular Carmelite, so we pray a lot. Yes. For a lot of people too. And so prayer is pretty much my foundation of everything. And so when I'm feeling down, I do that. I also have good friends who I can call during those times. And again, they can tell me if, hey, you know, I don't think God sees it that way. Or, you know, they can tell me what they think and where I'm off. And I love to just go out and walk. I can't tell you. I think that for many years since I was an athlete, I didn't ever identify this in my mind, but I think I thought that walking was just like for people who couldn't do anything else. Sorry. But it's like, no, I think walking is just the best thing. If you ever have any stress or tension in your body or your mind at all, if you get outside, if it's at all possible, or even if you just walk around inside your house or your apartment, is better than sitting still with all the thoughts. Just get going and get the tension going out of your body. So I walk a lot. I call people. I talk to God. You know, that's kind of going 3-2-1 back to the source. But I love to do physical things. I like to walk and jog, and I like to swim in the summer. It helps me to get a lot of stress out. It helps me when on those days, like you're saying, when I have pressure. So I'll write in the summer when I don't teach until the second summer semester, I'll write almost the whole day, but I'll stop and go swimming. You know, like I make sure that I get my exercise every day, because what the research says, and I put it in the Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes workbook, what the research says is that exercise is not just good for your body, because a lot of us will go, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to exercise, that'll help my body. But we don't really care much about our bodies, unfortunately, so we don't do it. But let me just tell you that if you've ever had anything happen, any kind of trauma in your life or anything where your brain has been hurt and you want your brain to get back in order, exercise is a way for that to happen, because it helps your brain too. It boosts your immune system, because for the four hours after this is what a doctor explained to me, for 4 hours after you exercise, your brain, I mean, your body, it's like it took a bit of a hit, and it goes like going downward, right? But then it's like these muscles coming back up in the 4 hours after that, where you've gotten a booster shot and your immune system is all picked up. And that's why it's not good to exercise very vigorously a little too late at night, because then it's going to wake you up. It could disturb your sleep. But if you exercise earlier in the afternoon or do some stretching instead of vigorous exercise that pumps your heart, if you have to, right before you go to bed, the Petra Fitness has a wonderful intense stretching program for Catholic and Christian people. And so if you do stuff like that, then it's sort of like your body keeps getting, you know, on an ongoing basis, that booster shot. And I noticed that in the wintertime, if I'm exercising properly and continuing to take my probiotics and stuff, I'm not getting sick. Like, it just keeps you well. So it keeps you well. It gives your brain an ability to heal from anything you've been through. And it just makes you feel better all around. It's just getting out any tension you have. So as writers, if we could just get away and go somewhere else, or as parents, even if we have to put our child in the stroller and take him down the road with us, like, just get out of there and go exercise, do something.
Several things that you've said resonate with me. First of all, you were talking about how, you know, sometimes you're depressed, you can't do anything. And that was my case after Jim passed away. He left in the end of November, and then came Christmas, and in between, yes, that was everything. And I had been caring for him for 8 years. I was just utterly exhausted. We liked to exercise. We'd go to the community center 4 or 5 days a week until he was too sick to go and we had COVID.
Right.
So exercise is something of a problem now, because my left foot is also given out.
Oh.
So I after Christmas, I just kind of sat there like one of those beetles stuck in pine tar or something.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do. And My granddaughter needed someone to foster a cat for her until she goes into an apartment. Mm-hmm. So I have a cat here with me, and that cat has been a wonderful transition. Oh. I just sit and I pet the cat. The tension leaves.
There you go. Yeah.
Then I came Lent, and I realized on Ash Wednesday I had not made any firm plans for Lent. I didn't know what to do. Well, the TV hadn't been on all day, and I thought, well, I'm just not going to turn the TV on during Lent because the news makes me very unhappy anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the TV has not been turned on since Ash Wednesday. And you know what? It's wonderful. Life mm-hmm. without TV is really good. Mm-hmm. I'm getting more things done, and I'm
right.
Place to stretch. You mentioned stretching.
Yes.
Stretching is the beginning. I don't know if this ankle will get well enough to really go out and walk a mile or two. But you know, I think it's important when you're stuck in a place where you're stuck to rest in the Lord and see what He will provide. Mm-hmm. Because I just decided, you know, I'm going to sit here and pet this cat. And a lot of nights now, I'll sit and pet the cat for an hour or so. We're both happy, and I don't miss the TV. It's really right. A time to pray.
Right, right.
So I think if you're stuck, sometimes the best thing to do is stop and say, "What next, Lord?"
Right. What next, Lord?
Right. Yes. Yeah. What appears if you listen and wait? Mm-hmm. I think waiting is the hardest thing for Christians to do.
Yes.
I think what you're saying really resonates with me. Okay, you mentioned your writing, and
yes.
You've only gotten 5 books published, and you've got 5 more that you want to publish. Do you do programs in connection with your books?
I do. Yeah, I love to talk about my writing and what I'm doing, because I'm just getting back, like I used to do speaking all over the place when I was in those first 10 years in social work. Because I'm just getting back from homeschooling into a new life, I'm just starting to do that again. But I'm available and I'm open to speaking to anyone about how to help with the things that I'm writing about. So if I'm writing about the saints, I love to talk about the saints. Oh my gosh. I was just thinking about Saint Therese as you were talking, you know, about how sometimes we just have to ask the Lord, what next, Lord? And what she saw was when she was trying to get herself to the place where she wanted to go and who she wanted to be for Him. She said, well, how can I get from here to there? Cause I'm so little. And you know, that she had that way of the little way. Right. And she saw Jesus's arms like an elevator, and He would reach down and pick her up, and He would lift her up to where He wanted her to be. So as long as she stayed in His arms, that was a good place to be, you know? So that image came to my mind as you were talking about when we're stuck and we don't know where to go, and we say, what next, Lord? If we just put ourselves right into His arms, He will either provide something will come into our life, or if we don't get an idea in our mind, something will happen in our life a door will open, or a window, if you will, that will lead us somewhere else. That He wants us to go. So, I enjoy talking about the things that I write. I wish with all my heart I could go to every parish in the world and help the people there put in the therapeutic lifestyle changes, because I think a lot of us are not taking care of ourselves the way we're supposed to. And I don't just mean our body, I mean our mind, our heart, our soul. So I start with the spiritual. In the prayer and reflection is the first TLC that I put in, therapeutic lifestyle change. And then study and reflection, prayer and meditation, and then your family, all your relationships, you know, and I go from there. And then with the Praying with the Saint book, I'm trying to help people, because Saint Gertrude, who was a great mystic in the 1200s, she said that Jesus told her that the saints are the most powerful on their feast day. So if you're asking the saint on their feast day, then that's when they've been granted by God the ability to be very effective in interceding for you. It would be like me asking you to pray and today was your birthday and God had said, okay, when it's Ann's birthday, Belinda, you better ask her to pray for you because I'm gonna give her what she wants. And so I thought, you know, it's been a long time that I knew that God was telling me that he wanted me to make this known to other people, but it just felt like a very, very gargantuan project, you know, like the work of a lifetime, if you will. And really, it could have taken me years and years to do this. Instead, it took me years and years to get to the place where I could start. And then once I knew, because I had written another book called Praying with the Doctors on their feast day, and the editor who is now at OSV, who is now publishing this Praying with the Saints on their feast day, she said, well, I love the book. There's nothing wrong with the book. It's just that that's too narrow an audience for who we publish for. Now, if you wrote something like Praying with the Saints or all the saints, I'm like, well, that's what I wanted to do to begin with. But I thought it would take too long, so I did this project. She goes, well, if you did that and you did it in this way, don't put all the other stuff that you put in the doctors, just these four things. I said, oh my gosh, I could totally do that. And so then when I started writing, it took me some months, but it was less than a year to write the book. And it was amazing because, like I said, it just poured out of me and it was supposed to be done. You know, like I just knew the Holy Spirit was working through me. So that one makes me happy because families can use this book. So it's a little bio about the saint, but then there's a quote by him or her, or if I couldn't, because the saint is so obscure that nobody has any writings by them, if I couldn't find a quote, I'll use a quote from the Bible. So I have Holy Scripture in there, and or a quote by, like, Saint Cyprian talked about someone else that died, you know, like a saint by another quote about that person. And then, so those are two sections, the bio, the quote, and then the third section is the one about the prayer. And that's where I get to say, Dear Father, through the intercession of, you know, St. John Bosco, give us the virtues of curiosity, generosity, you know, what I saw when I was researching that saint. And I can't list all their virtues, but I can list the ones that I think will be helpful to people to pray with them for. And so, and then I'll ask for grant us, inspire us to learn our catechism, to help children, like if it's what he did, like the work he did in his life when he was living, you know, to help children to get a better grip on their faith or whatever. And I'm paraphrasing, I wouldn't exactly write it like that, but so I write a prayer, and then all in all it might take 3 minutes for a family to do it. One family that was, I'd had a bunch of what I call field testers. Like they were, I was just sending them every month when I'd finish revising that month, editing my edits on that month, I'd send it out and people would talk to me about, you know, how they were experiencing the material. And one family was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We put it right after our family rosary. Then we have the rosary and the saints. I'm like, yes, that's exactly. Yeah, if you can't do the rosary and you can only do a short family prayer time, this is the thing, because it gets your children to know the saints, and it gets, or your grandchildren, whoever is living with you or around you. And I'm hopeful that children, after being read this for so many years, they will pick up the book and continue to use it in their life, you know, even when they go away from the parental home, you know, so.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And the book is Praying with the Saints. And I think you said it's coming out in October from Our Sunday Visitor.
Yes. And we may change the title. So Praying with the Saints on their feast days is my tentative title. It's the one I wish we could go with, but they may change it depending on how they think it will sell with that title. So editors can have the right to change your title. So I'm calling it my tentative title, but it should be out like at the end, toward the middle to end of October, if we get all the edits back and forth, correct? Like, you know, yes. I have to move through those edits when they send them to me and get them back to her.
Now, the other thing I wonder is if people would like to know more about you, do you have a website?
Yes, right now I have a website called it's just www.com. TLC for the Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes, TLCWellnessInstitute.com. TLCWellnessInstitute.com. I am working very hard on my author website, which will be Belinda Tarrow, T-E-R-R-O, Mooney, M-O-O-N-E-Y.com. But right now, we don't have that finished. So what is finished is the TLC Wellness Institute. com. And so they could go there and look up the other books that I've got and some about me. But, you know.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My Facebook page is my full name, Belinda Tarrow Mooney. But you have to be careful to connect with me through the page and not the personal. Unfortunately, all the people that I wanted to be on my page started contacting me and connecting with me on my personal. And really, my personal is like my page. I'm really on Facebook to help people know about my writings. And because if you know me and I'm your friend, you can always text me. You don't have to get me on Facebook. Like, you can just text me or call me. So I'm not on there for friends. I'm really on there for new friends who I will be able to help through my writing.
Do you have how would they connect with you on Instagram?
It's the same thing. It's my full name, Belinda Tarrow Mooney.
Belinda, it's been a joy having you here today. And I wish you the best.
Thank you.
You've got a wonderful future ahead of you. And maybe you can come back in the fall and we'll talk about your book.
That would be awesome. Yes. Yes. Well, and in the meantime, maybe look for this other book, this little poetry book that will be coming out soon, because he said it shouldn't take long to turn it around. It's going to be a small book for hopefully confirmation gifts. And I think it would probably stay at A Look at Life. That's the title now, A Look at Life. And it's about the virtues. And that probably will take, I would think, less than 6 months to come out right now, because he said it's going to be a quick turnaround. So yay! God is good.
This is Ann Cavero with Speeding Past 80. Thanks for listening.